Isaiah 25. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners, as heat by the shade of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is put down. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. That he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, and Moab shall be trampled down in his place, as straw is trampled down in a dunghill. He will spread out his hands in the midst of it, as a swimmer spreads his hands out to swim. But the Lord will lay low his pompous pride together with the skill of his hands. And the high fortifications of his wall he will bring down, lay low and cast to the ground, to the dust.
Thank you, Josh, for reading that scripture for us. And I hope that you're able to gather and be together with family and friends and watch this as we worship together. Give your kids an opportunity to worship as well. We're not going to have a children's sermon this morning, so hopefully you'll have connection and with your kids. I also just want to say before I get started, if there's a time in this that you need to press pause and go use the restroom, take a break, that's great. Kind of the beauty of this worship is it's at your own pace. And so we want you to feel that freedom this morning. Well, we were back in Isaiah 25, and we had been studying Isaiah starting back in Advent and have worked our way to chapter 25. I didn't plan this, I promise. This is just God's good providence of where we are in Isaiah and where we are as a world right now, because Isaiah 25 fits perfect. If you read Isaiah 24, there's chaos. There's all these disorganization going on. And then in 26, again, there's judgment. There's all these things that are going on. But in 25, Isaiah preaches peace. And he brings good news to the people. And he keeps making reference to the phrase, on that day, through chapters 24, 25, 26, 27. He says it seven different times, and we'll see it in the passage that we're going to look at. On that day, the day of judgment, the day that's coming, the day that redemption, the church will rise. And as Augustine said, the city of God will be at hand. We know this is also true as we look at Revelation and we see the new city, the new Jerusalem that's coming. And this is a lot of what Isaiah 25 is about, that the earthly kingdoms of this world will be destroyed, and all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our Lord in Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And so we see that. We see the falling. We saw with Tyre and Sidon that their idol was that of money, and prosperity, and God took that away. And now we see that here, again, another oracle, another judgment, another declaration about the whole world in Isaiah 25. And so we pick up here, and just want to encourage you that if you have had, like I have, a week of uncertainty. Actually, this time last week, I was on a cruise ship, believe it or not. And we were between Jamaica and the Cayman Islands and didn't have a whole lot of news. We couldn't go to the Cayman Islands. The captain came on and said that we weren't able to port there. We thought that it was because of some of the virus stuff, but didn't realize the intensity of it. Got to Cozumel, Mexico, and started getting news about all this. And Rachel and I also wondered if we were even going to be able to get off the boat, that we might have been quarantined on this boat, or when we got to Fort Lauderdale, if we were not going to be able to fly home. And so there were a lot of questions of uncertainty. And I think we've all felt that this week. If you have felt uncertain, if you have felt fear, if you have felt just not knowing what God is up to, then I think it's a general feeling that we all have. And Isaiah 25 speaks so well exactly to this question. And so, if you were like me also, you were refreshing your browser quite a bit. When we finally started getting some news, I think I hit the browser about 50 times just to find out what's next, what's next, what's next, and all the thing that was going on. And I found myself meditating on just a lot of bad news, almost just like watching a ship sink, slow but sure, hoping that it was going to pop back up, but it just didn't. And seeing all these different things happen, my kids not being in school, us not being able to meet for worship, and no March Madness. Are you kidding me? The world is falling apart when we don't have March Madness. And so just so many things that we saw really change quickly. And so it brought out this fear in us. That was Isaiah as well. Seeing all these cities fall apart. Seeing the ones that had been raised up, the big cities, even Babylon, fall. And he knew this. He knew that this was in the hand of God. He knew this was the plan of God. But in the end, as Isaiah 25 says, God wins. God wins. He created us, we fell, and now there's redemption. That's the story. And one day, someday soon, will be consummation, and we will be with him forever. God wins. We say this at Easter. We say it on a consistent basis. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's again what Isaiah 25 tells us, that he has swallowed up death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? It's gone. God wins. Isaiah 25 reassures us this morning that this is the plan of God. He is in control. This false feeling we have of control, that we think that we're in control of our lives, that we're in control of the world, we are not. God is. And we are his. We are his children. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is our good shepherd. He wins. And this is what Isaiah 25 is telling us. And so this morning, what I want to do is point out three things real quickly for us to think about. And really this idea of meditation is, you, instead of hitting your browser on news or whatever it is, instead of watching Netflix till your eyes pop out, let's meditate together on God. Let's also wait on God and his redemption and doing this together. And then finally, let's celebrate God and the salvation that he brings. And so let's meditate, let's wait, and let's also celebrate God. First of all, notice in the passage that was read for us in Isaiah 25:1, as he says here, and I hope that you have a Bible or a phone or something you can follow along with me. He says, O Lord, and this is capital L-O-R-D. We've talked about this all through Isaiah. O Lord, or Father, this is the personal name, Yahweh, the personal name of God. You are my God. The first thing that Isaiah declares as he's worshiping and meditating, as he says, this is personal. That my God is not money like Tyre and Sidon. My God is not power like Babylon. My God is not this big stuff that makes me feel secure. My God is the Lord, my Father, who holds the whole world in his hands. He goes on here, I will exalt you. I will praise you. And know that when you're praising, when we're worshiping God, when we're doing this right now and listening to this and thinking about God, we are meditating. We're paying attention to God. And he says he does this individually, my God. Later he's going to say, our God. This is done individually. This is done corporately. This is done with family. This is done with friends. But it's meditation. It's hitting the browser and refreshing on God. Not on bad news. Not on all this chaos. Not on COVID-19. Not on whether I have a sniffle right now or something. But refreshing the browser, meditating on God. This is what Isaiah is leading us to do. It's what he's doing. Even though all this stuff is falling down around him, he worships God. He comes and meditates on God. And notice what he meditates about God. Verse 1 again, you have done. He's saying, you have done these things, God. You have worked redemption. In the past, Isaiah is reminding himself of what the Lord has done. So a great question is, you're with your family, and after the sermon, even after you watch this, just a simple question to ask. What has God done for us? Salvation? Roof over our head? We got plenty of food in the fridge at my house. God's taken care of us. He has done great things. Let's rejoice. Let's meditate on that. Let's meditate on the wonderful things here, as Isaiah says in this in verse 1. And wonderful here also means astonishing. It's almost shocking the great things God does. He does so much good. We are taken care of. We are provided for. Our heart is beating. We're in good place. Why? Because of God. Because he's the one that does these wonderful works. And this is what Isaiah is meditating on. He's remembering the goodness of God. Also notice that he doesn't just meditate on the works of God. He also meditates on the word of God. Again, in verse 1, it says his plans. And I love that Isaiah doesn't just say his word, because it also means the word of God declared from him, his counsel. But these are plans. God set this up from the beginning. Plans of old is what he's praising the Lord for. Plans that are sure is what he says. Plans that are faithful. The plans of God are certain. The plans of God are faithful. His plans, his declaration about us, his declaration about what will happen in this world is sovereign, is powerful, is sure. God is not up there right now going, oh no, what in the world? He's saying, yes, this is what I established from of old, and this is what will come to pass. Even this word here of sure means like a rock. That he is saying that the plans of God from of old are a foundation, are the rock of our salvation. He is our rock. He is our fortress. All other ground is sinking sand. All other governments, all other kingdoms are sinking sand. He is not. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And we can be sure. Again, there's so much uncertainty right now in the world. I think if I had a dollar for every time I've heard uncertain this week, I'd be a very rich man. That it's been said over and over of how uncertain. And I want to tell you that God is certain. His plans are sure. The world is uncertain. The world, the earthly world, the city of this earth, but the city of God is sure. There is also chaos going on all around us. And I also want to encourage us that God redeems through chaos. He brings redemption out of difficult situations. And this is, I hope, our prayer for our world right now, for our city, that from all this chaos, from all this difficulty, that we would see that God can use this and move the church forward, move us forward. I mean, even as you're watching this today, this is very different, right? This is something we had to be creative with. And we don't know how God's going to use it. We had a bunch of great guys gather yesterday to put this together. They did an awesome job. And now we want to send this out. Through this chaos, God can bring great redemption. And this is the way that he works. His plans are of old. It's not our plan. We never would have planned to do this. But God's plans are sure. And so, again, let's meditate on that. Let's refresh the browser on that. And when you find yourself hearing news coming up, when you feel like there's chaos all around you, go back to Isaiah 25. Go back to the Psalms. Go back to a place of worship of God to look to him, to meditate on him, to meditate on his faithful works in your life and lives around us, and his faithful words and his faithful plan. And so we meditate together. We also wait together. And now I want you to skip down to verse 9 of Isaiah 25 and look at what Isaiah says. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. We, together, have waited for him that he might save us, that he might redeem us. He goes on, this is the Lord, our Father. We have waited for him. Two times here he says, wait. Wait. Because why? Because God's the one that redeems things. Because he says God is the one that will save us. And then notice at the end of verse 9, let us be glad and rejoice in what? In his salvation. Who's going to save us? Us? Wisdom? Man? No way. Great leaders? Well, we just need a new leader. We need somebody. No, God. God wins. God redeems. God saves. And we have to wait. But I want you to see that this waiting idea here is different than, you know, I hear when someone says you need to wait, I think about, you know, going to the mall and waiting on someone who's in a store and just kind of sitting on the bench and going, all right, when are they coming out? I'm kind of bored, you know. What is it that we're trying to do here? That waiting is not what he's talking about. When he says he waited and they waited, it was literally slowing down and even stopping. And one of the things that's been a blessing about all this that's going on right now is it slowed us down. I've talked to several people this week as the pastor calling, how you doing, checking in on folks. And the first thing people usually say is, we're okay, we're a little freaked out, we're not sure what to do. But then the more they talk, the more they say, but you know, I really have enjoyed the break. Sometimes God says, stop, and we don't. We keep being busy. And sometimes he says, I'm going to stop you. He has stopped us. And so my encouragement to you during this time is slow down, see what's most important, and meditate on what's right. Slow down and see the Lord. Slow down and see that he's the one that will save us. He's the one that will rescue us. He's the one that is bringing redemption because his plans are sure. And Isaiah got this. All this chaos was going on around him. All these people were even coming to him and saying, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And what Isaiah said is, just wait. Just slow down. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord and look at him. When we wait, strength comes. And if we fast forward to Isaiah 20, he tells us that when we wait on the Lord, it renews our strength. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will walk and not be faint. Slow down. Slow down and look at God. Slow down and wait and meditate on him. And then he even goes to the extreme here to say, meditate, slow down, and then look at verse 6, and have a party. Meditate, wait, and celebrate. Look at verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all the peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, wine that waited, the good stuff, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. Eugene Peterson, in his translation of this, said it this way, we will throw a feast for all the people of the world, a feast of the finest food, a feast with vintage wine, a feast of seven courses, a feast lavish with gourmet desserts. Sounds awesome. We can feast, we can celebrate. Why? Because we as the people of God know what's coming. God's redemption. Our God is in control. Our God wins. We don't have to worry. We can look to him. We can celebrate together as God's people. Now, I know this is weird right now, and you're saying, hey, I don't have toilet paper, and I don't know what to do, and my life's falling apart. Slow down. Look at God and enjoy God. His glory, his celebration is before us. And again, why? How can we do this? Look at verse 8, and this is where Easter comes in. And I know we're a couple weeks before, we're in Lent, we're getting ready for this, but I almost wish this was Easter Sunday. Because Isaiah 25, verse 8 is it. He shall swallow up death forever. Jesus Christ is coming. The one who lived perfect, a real life. He lived a real perfect life. He died a real perfect death. It was not fair. He shouldn't have died. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. It was real. And then he says, put your faith in me. Trust me, and you'll have eternal life. And this is a real thing that we do. We say to Jesus, real faith in you because of what he has done, because he has swallowed up death forever. The resurrection of Jesus was real. It happened. And right behind him is when we will be raised from the dead as well. And we as his people will spend eternity with him. This is what we celebrate. That's why I love Easter, and I hope that we will be able to gather for Easter. Because I want to say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And hear everyone say it back to me. And then I want to go eat ham and potato salad and celebrate Easter because it's awesome. Because again, we're reminded that God wins. Our hope is built today on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's meditate on that. Let's wait and know that God is at work. He's bringing redemption. And let's celebrate. Spend time with your family. Enjoy this time. Slow down. Slow down. Spend time with your kids. Enjoy friends. God is at work, and he is bringing great redemption. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you are our God, that we are your people, that you are the good shepherd, and in you we take hope, in you we take peace. And I just pray for everyone that is listening, watching, that, Lord, you would assure them of your great love. And Lord Jesus, thank you that while we were yet sinners, that you died for us. Thank you that our hope is built on you. And so we do pray for our world, and we pray for our souls today to look to you. And thank you, Lord God, that you are in control and you love us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.